Hello, welcome to Table Talk. Scott Porth and Brent Kuhlman with you today. Two pastors daring to be Lutheran. Table Talk, it's a hodgepodge. You never know what we're going to be talking about.
Well, let's get back to Matthew, shall we?
Shall we? Matthew's Gospel.
That's loads of fun.
Okay, so Matthew chapter 11 is where we're going to pick up. But maybe just a little bit, kind of an overview of this section, Brent, of what we're creeping into here now.
Yeah, starting with chapter 11, we get, we might be surprised because, you know, we've been rejoicing in the fact that Jesus is Emmanuel. He's God with us. And as Emmanuel, God with us, he has come to save his people from their sins. And you would just imagine that with this reign of God on the earth in such a way that people would just be saying, woohoo, this is great stuff. Been waiting for this for years, you know, generations. It's about time. And instead, boy, he gets lots of blowback and rejection. And from the most unlikely people.
You mean the temple and the synagogues aren't just packed to the gills with the people?
They are, but they don't want to believe what Jesus has to say or to give them. This is one of the biggest, irony is not the right word. I suppose mystery would probably be the best word here to describe what we read in Matthew's Gospel starting in chapter 11. I said that Jesus is going to get some blowback. He's going to get some opposition and from the most unlikely people, and first of all, from John the Baptist. And I know there are a lot of pastors that will disagree with what I'm going to say here, but I'm going to stick to my guns. I mean, when John sends his disciples here in chapter 11 to ask Jesus, you know, are you the Christ? Are you the one? Or, you know, should we be looking for somebody else? And keep in mind, John's in prison when he asks this question. And of course, John had preached for years that the Messiah was coming, and he knows the Messiah is here in Jesus. But, you know, Jesus just doesn't meet the expectations in the way that John preached. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He's got his winnowing fork in his hand, and he's going to separate the wheat from the chaff. I mean,
he's the mightier one.
Yeah.
And to release those in prison, you know, just preaching the prophets, if you will, of the Old Testament. And now when John finds himself in prison and not released from bondage, no doubt those are the passages that weigh heavily on him.
Yes. And I would humbly suggest that a lot of pastors go through this as well. I mean, I'm going to speak in general. Generally speaking, most pastors have a lot of pessimistic moods and have a lot of doubts about, you know, is Jesus really the Messiah? Why do I suffer so much if he's the Messiah? I mean, why is it that the people don't rejoice in what I preach? The lack of interest, the apathy, the old Latin word, I believe it is Acadia. It's just total indifference to the word or just flat out opposition. You know, I preach Jesus, I preach the Messiah, and now I'm here in prison suffering. Well, good grief, Jesus. I said that you would be the one to set things right. And now here I'm suffering and nothing's changed.
I really expect things would go better. You know, if I preach the truth, if I'm faithful in what I've been given to do, really things just in general should be going better, shouldn't they?
Yeah, and instead I suffer. So, you know, are you the one? I mean, I told people flat out, categorically, and audacious. I'm risking my neck out here, and my pun is intended here.
Uh-huh.
I stuck my neck out for you, Jesus, saying to people that they'd better repent, for the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God has come in you and your ministry. I don't see it. Now, that's the way I see this in Matthew 11. If you want to, I haven't even read the text. I've just simply alluded to it.
Okay, let's pick up at Matthew 11, verse 1.
Okay.
When Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in their cities. Now, when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And then Jesus answers, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. And the dead are raised up and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." So once again there, Jesus, if you will, in the report back, speaking back, preaching back a word of God to John that he is very familiar with.
Yeah,
I mean, preaching back sermons John has already preached, but he does it for John's benefit now.
And Jesus, if I remember correctly, he's quoting Isaiah here, isn't he?
Correct.
Yeah. One of the messianic prophecies. And it climaxes in the language, and the good news is preached to the poor. This fits with Matthew 1, and he will save his people from their sins. That happens through the preaching of the gospel, which reveals and gives the kingdom of God on the earth. So go and report to John. And remember, he's talking to John's disciples here. John sent them because he's in prison. You go and tell John what you see and hear. And then he quotes the passage from Isaiah, which is, look, I am the Messiah. I am the fulfillment of what Isaiah prophesied. And again, I want to repeat this. The list of things, let's go over them again. The blind see, the lame walk, the leprous are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. And that's absolutely happened in his ministry. But the reason it's given a list in this order is the climax at the end. And the good news is preached to the poor. And poor here doesn't mean economically poor. Primarily, it means the spiritually poor. In other words, the people who, as Jesus said early in the gospel, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The people who have been oppressed by their sins, who have been killed by the law, they're dependent upon the Lord. These are the poor. In other words, they have nothing to offer to God for their salvation. They're completely dependent upon him. That's what it means, the poor.
And when Jesus says there in verse 6, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me. And so you mentioned this, you know, one of the most unlikely people that would be offended at Jesus is John the Baptist. But with this little encounter, this little conversation with Jesus and John is just creeping into this whole section, which deals with those who should know better don't, if you will, or those who reject Jesus are the ones that you'd be surprised. You'd think that they'd be the first ones to hear and to believe and to give their amen.
And another way to talk about this, I would suggest, would be that these John in prison is one of the many to come here in Matthew's gospel who try to impose their will, their words, their thinking about how God should act on the earth. What I'm suggesting here is when John sends his disciples to Jesus and says, you know, are you the one or should we look for another? I think this is a very, very diplomatic, churchly, or polite way of saying, you know, I've got in mind the way I think you should act and the way you should be. And so you better listen to me.
This is my design for the kingdom.
Yes.
Okay. And what I see here, what I experience isn't matching up. Yeah. So let me just, you know, take you aside, you know, Jesus, and like a Peter, right?
That's right.
You know, and speak another word to you.
Oh, and I'm glad you mentioned Peter's name because I don't know if we mentioned this in our previous talks here around the table about Matthew, but I want to just briefly, this is a sidebar.
Sure.
But since you mentioned Peter's name, you know, we heard Jesus say when we did our program a few weeks ago, whoever denies me before men, or whoever confesses me before men. Do you remember that?
Yep.
And lo and behold, you have a Peter who denies Jesus before men. And yet, this is the Jesus who came for such sinners like Peter and you and me. Because we actually do deny Jesus in our words, in our deeds. And this is precisely why he's come. So this Peter is just a classic example of you and me and all Christians.
And it's when we insert our words and say, now these are the words to live by. And your word, Jesus, step aside.
So blessed, when Jesus says it's verse, what is it, 6? Blessed is the person who doesn't stumble or fall or is scandalized on account of me. Yeah, blessed are you. Just simply believe what Jesus says and does. You know, the dead are raised, the leprous are healed, the blind see, etc. You know, people today would say, boy, you know, if only I saw Jesus do that today, by God, I'd go to church every Sunday. I'd follow Jesus. I mean, I'd hang on to him like no one's ever hung on to him before. If only he would do these things. Well, I guess, got news for you folks. This continues through the preaching of his word, when people are baptized, and when he gives out his body and blood in the sacrament of the altar. Let me back up a little bit of what I mean. The miracles are so I struggle with how to say this. You'll have to have mercy on me. But the miracles of our Lord Jesus Christ have not stopped. But they have become so mundane, if you will, so obvious that we no longer pay attention to them. When through the preaching of the gospel, a sinner, a dead damned sinner, is converted and becomes a believer, that is a total miracle. Someone is brought from spiritual death to spiritual life. That is a miracle. And right. yet, I'm speaking in general again to make my point. This is how Kuhlman teaches. He exaggerates to make points. That's how teachers do it, okay? Right. So we have just become so ho-hum to that. And we look elsewhere to false preachers and false teachers who claim all kinds of things outside of the Word of God. When a child is baptized, we're going to have a baptism at Trinity. And when this child is baptized, that child is transferred from the kingdom of Satan to the kingdom of heaven. And the fact that the child believes is a total miracle. The fact that Jesus sustains us in his kingdom on the way to where we'll finally see it with our eyes. The fact that he actually feeds us and sustains us with his body and blood like he did Israel with the manna and the quail in the wilderness until he brought to the promised land. We just ho-hum. I've got better things.
Well, and I think you hit the nail on the head, too, when you said when we will see it with our eyes. Because this very much is a visual. It's an experience thing. Coming up here in Matthew's gospel, you know, they're going to ask Jesus for a sign. In essence, isn't that what John the Baptist is doing? Yeah. I need something tangible, visible here that shows, you know, for instance, why don't you just get me out of this prison? See, and then I'll believe. And so I think people yearn for that as well. And Jesus is going to be challenged with that. And then he says, I'll give you the sign of Jonah.
Right. That's in chapter 12, isn't it?
In other words, you got to hang on my words.
Yeah, there you go.
See, quit being spiritual with your eyes and your experience, but now hang on my words.
That's crucial.
And that's enough.
Now, isn't it interesting that in the next few verses that Jesus then praises John the Baptist?
Yes. Well, and what has he done here to John the Baptist? John questions. John maybe is inserting his own words here and saying, you know, this is how the show should be run. And Jesus, he speaks a word back to him about the kingdom and what happens. And now blessed are you, John, if you're not scandalized by this.
Yes.
Jesus doesn't come running to the rescue. He doesn't bust him out of prison. He simply sends him a word. Now you just live by this word, John.
Cling to it.
And so it is for us.
That's why then when Jesus then, John's disciples leave and then Jesus begins to speak to the crowd about John. This is just great. I love this. What did you go out into the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear fine clothes are in kings' palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. Interesting, more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, and then he quotes the Old Testament, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you. The prophecy by Malachi, I think it's chapter 3, I believe. And then Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. I have to say something about this. We got a break, or can I say something?
Say something.
Well, let me do it with a teaser. Who is the least in the kingdom of heaven that's greater than John the Baptist? I'll answer that after the break. How's that?
So more than a prophet, and the least in the kingdom. Well, we'll have that all figured out if we take a long enough break, folks. Join us after this.